Open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 26. Those of you who come to Green Acres regularly, you know that my normal preaching pattern is to take a book of the Bible and just teach through it verse after verse after verse. I've been doing that for several months for 2 Corinthians called Hope for Crackpots. But today, I'm interrupting that series for one Sunday because I want to give to you something that I used to do every year. I skipped last year because of the joy of all generations. But I want to share with you today what I call the pastor's state of the church message. Now, of course, you know that our president, George W. Bush, gives an annual State of the Union address. In fact, in January, this next January, he will deliver his 8th and final State of the Union address. And you know, both houses of Congress will gather, both the Senate and the House of Representatives and the federal judiciary and other VIPs will be in that room. And isn't it always interesting to watch that, all the political dynamics, because you have one side of the room on the Republican side that everything that the president does and says, you know, they're standing up and they're clapping and they're cheering and they're smiling. And then you have the other side of the room, you know, at this time, the Democrats, you know, they maybe applaud maybe politely or just kind of grimace a little bit, or some of them have even been photographed, you know, yawning during the president's remarks. But I imagine this next January, many of them are going to be thinking, maybe this time next year it'll be one on our side. You see, that's just politics for you. The good thing about what I'm doing today is that we're not a divided family. I hope that everybody can rejoice with me and cheer with me today about the good things that God is doing in our church. You know, I think it's important for churches to hear reports of what God is doing. Our organizational handbook is the Bible, and this is what they did in the Bible. They often gave reports. In fact, I want us to look at our text today, Acts chapter 14, verse 26. Let's stand together as we read this portion of God's Word. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas had just returned from their first missionary journey, and this is what they did. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. Antioch was their home church. On arriving there, they gathered the church together. That's what we're doing today. And reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And that's what I want to talk to you about, all the great things God has done. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Skip down to chapter 15, verse 3. Even after they left Antioch, they kept on giving the reports all the way to Jerusalem. Verse 3 of Acts 15. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the brothers very glad, and I hope all of us will be glad today to hear what God is doing. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so glad that Paul and Barnabas did not talk about what they had done. They talked about what you had done through them. And today, as we share the blessings that we're here to enjoy, Father, we want to say again, it is all because of you. It is none of us. It is all of you. And may you receive all the honor and glory, we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, be seated. As you're being seated, you got your Bible open to Acts. Turn over to Acts 29 real quick. Let's see who can find Acts 29 the fastest. And when you find Acts chapter 29, hold up your hand. We'll see who can get there the first. Acts chapter 29. Hold your hand up when you get there. Now, maybe you've already discovered there is no Acts 29. It ends with Acts 28. I said, hold up your hand when you find Acts 29. Well, for those of you that held up your hand, you're right. You know why? Because right here, Green Acres Baptist Church, you have found Acts chapter 29. This is the story of the church that's ongoing. We are an Acts 29 church. As God did many wonderful things in the book of Acts, he continues to do many wonderful things today. Now, folks, what this is going to be today is just going to be a family chat. I'm just going to just be honest with you and talk to you from my heart. And I know there are some of you here that you're not a member of the family yet, and that's okay. We're glad you're here. We don't mind you hearing what I'm going to talk about. In fact, I hope what I have to share with you today will even maybe cause you to be interested in joining the family we call Green Acres. Because we know every Lord's Day we have strangers come in, and some stranger than others. No, but really, reminds me of the funny story about a strange lady that showed up one Sunday morning at a little church, and the usher didn't recognize her, knew she was a guest, and she said, "Ma'am, where would you like to sit?" And this lady said, "I want to go right down to the front and sit on the front pew." And the usher said, "Ma'am, I wouldn't advise that, because I want to tell you, our preacher is really boring." She said, "Do you know who I am?" The usher said, "No." She said, "I'll have you know, I'm that preacher's mother." He said, "Well, do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "Good." So I'm going to try to keep this exciting. And I am excited about the great things God has done. We're just going to do two things. I want us to look at the past and thank God for the blessings behind us. And then we're going to look at the future and look at some challenges I want to lay before you. So number one, let us thank God for the blessings behind us. Thank God for the blessings behind us. You know, our church really doesn't have an official slogan, but I think what it's become through the years is this, and you can just repeat this after me, or you can finish it for me. God is good, and all the time. You can do better than that. God is good, and all the time. And that is so true, folks, because it is God's goodness we're celebrating here today. You know, I see a doctor, Dr. Alan Paul, in our church about every 5 or 6 months. And I'm not in perfect health, but I am healthy. And when we get together, the main thing he looks at are some numbers, some LDL numbers, some HDL numbers, some triglyceride numbers. And he said, "Here's where they are. This is where we want them to be." So anytime you're looking at the health of an organization, one of the things you have to use is numbers. Now, what I want you to understand, folks, is that Green Acres is not a perfect church. But Green Acres is a healthy church. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a perfect church, you'll never find one. I came across a poem by my favorite poet, Anonymous, the other day called "The Perfect Church," and here it is. "If you should find a perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sake, don't join that church, because you'll spoil the atmosphere. So since no perfect church exists where people never sin, just stop looking for a perfect church and love the church you're in." Isn't that good advice? Well, I just want to share with you some numbers, and that's the way you measure things about how God has blessed us through the years. You know, Green Acres is 52 years old. The church started May 1st, 1955. But I want us to look over the last 30 years. I want to show you some graphs to show you how the church has grown over the last 30 years in several categories. First of all, let's talk about church membership. You see a graph on the screen right now that shows church membership. The bar on the left is 1977, then 87, then 97, and then this past year, 2007. In 1997, Green Acres had approximately 3,000 members. That was a big church back in 1997. But our current membership, and this is what you can fill in the blank on your outline, our current membership is 13,967. God has blessed us with great growth. Now, I've been quoted as saying, of these 13,967 members, the FBI couldn't find half of them. But I really say that facetiously. I really do. You know why? Because these are actually people that we have their names and we have their addresses. Now, obviously, not that many people come. There are people that have kind of dropped out through the years. I need to just remind you, folks, having your name on a church roll is not the same thing as having your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And not every church member is going to go to heaven. The key thing is, how involved are you in the work of Christ and the body of Christ? So, you know what? These are people that we need to be concerned about. You know what I call a church membership list? I call it a prayer list. I call it a prospect list. And you know what we've discovered through the years? There are some of these people, they might not have darkened the door of Green Acres for 10 or 15 years, but when a crisis hits their life, guess what? They reach out to the members of Green Acres. And we're there for them. Even if they haven't come or given in years and years, we're trying to be there for them. And many of them get back involved in the life of Christ in the church. So we rejoice in every one of those. Let's look at another graph for the last 30 years. Number two, what about actual people that come? What about average worship attendance per Sunday? Well, on the left is 1977 all the way through 2007. In 77, the church averaged about 1,000 attendance in worship, and that's a lot of people in 77. But this past year, our average worship attendance in our three worship services was 4,655. There are 45,000 Southern Baptist churches, but there are only about 15 Southern Baptist churches that have 4,000 or more in attendance on a Sunday. And so we're right up there among some of the largest churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, you know, that 4,655, we've got a lot of people that, you know, they don't come every Sunday. There's probably not a lot of you that come every single Sunday. We've got some people that come first Sunday and then the third Sunday. Some come second Sunday and then fourth Sunday. And then when you have a month with five Sundays, everybody gets confused or something like that. Or we have some people that come, you know, maybe once a month or occasionally. We estimate that we have roughly about 7,000 people who are fairly regular or fairly participating in our church. But you know, the thing is, we could not run that many every Sunday simply for one reason. We don't have parking for that many people. We really don't. And that's one of the problems that we are addressing in this building campaign. Because within the next few months, just steps from the front door of this building, you're going to see a two-level parking deck rising that's going to be between these two extensions that we're building that's going to provide very good close-in parking. Now, you know, the truth is, since we've taken this parking over here to the south, and most of our members, our studies show us, live south of our campus, but now most of our parking is north of our campus. So some of you are going to have to brave the North 40 and just start making it a part of your routine to drive north to those new parking lots we have built and ride the shuttle in. But we are addressing those needs. And when we complete this construction project, we will have more parking places when we finish than when we started. Third graph I want to show you. What about Sunday school attendance, or what we call Sunday morning Bible study attendance? Well, in 1977, about 1,100 people per average on Sunday. This past year, 2007, our average was 3,245 in Sunday morning Bible study. Now, these are the people in our church who I think are really plugged in. Because, see, if all you ever do is attend a worship service, you're missing out on the richest and most fulfilling experience God has for you at Green Acres. Because you can come to a worship service and just listen to the music, listen to the preaching, go home, and you never build any relationships. And you know, the Christian life is all about relationships. And so when you get into a small group Bible study, that's where you make friends. That's where people know you and love you and will minister to you. You know, if you look at the growth of our Sunday school or Sunday morning Bible study, it has really kind of peaked. It's just kind of been bumping along the ceiling for one obvious reason. We are totally out of space. We don't have any room to start new children's Sunday school. We don't have any room to start new singles or adult Sunday morning Bible study classes. And so, obviously, that's why we're building. And I'm expecting in a year or so, or the next couple of years when we complete these buildings, we're going to see that number just jump up dramatically because we'll be able to provide space for those people. Let's talk about financially what's happening. Let's look at the graph that shows the total offerings perceived per year. In 1977, the total offerings received were about $1 million. This past year, 2007, has been remarkable, a miracle of God, because we have received in 2007 $21.8 million in offerings. That includes everything. That includes budget, building, world mission offering, everything. It's just amazing what God has done. You know, we have seen financial miracles in this church in the past. It's nothing new. Some of you may remember that when we were building this building, it cost $28 million, and yet our people gave over a period of time enough to pay for this building without us essentially paying one penny of interest. Now, we paid a little interest on some short-term borrowing, but we also invested the money as it came in. We ended up making more than we spent in interest. We had a net gain of $400,000 that we earned in interest compared to what we spent in interest. Folks, that's a miracle of God. Our church has no debt at this moment. And you know, when I travel around to some of these preacher meetings, and I don't go to many of them because I like regular friends, you know, not preachers. When I go to some of these preacher meetings and they know about Green Acres and what God has done financially, they always want to ask me the same question. What's your stewardship program? And I say, program? We don't really have a program, unless it's just we just ask the Lord's people to bring the Lord's tithe to the Lord's church on the Lord's day. And you know, and those of you that come, you know, I don't talk about money much at all. I talk about it usually once a year. Of course, I remind you more often, I only talk about it once a year. That's true also. But you know what? My philosophy is, folks, my philosophy is you just fall in love with Jesus and your pocketbook will follow. You just fall head over heels in love with Jesus and you just can't give enough. You'll just be generous. You know, Jesus said where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And we try to teach people that having a loving, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the greatest treasure of life. And if that becomes your treasure, you're just going to give generously and cheerfully. And we've just seen amazing miracles and we're going to continue to see them. This last graph is the one that I'm really most excited about. From the very beginning, Green Acres has been a mission-minded church, and I'm going to share with you what we have invested in world missions over the last 30 years. In 1977, the church spent about $150,000 in missions. This past year, Green Acres Baptist Church, your church, out of your offerings, we have invested $3.3 million in missions. That's more than any Southern Baptist church in America. Give the Lord a hand clap for that one, would you please? Give Him the glory and Him the glory alone. You know, I can just remember that when I first came to this church almost 17 years ago, this was already a great mission-minded church, and it's just been a joy for me to just be able to jump in and be a part of what God's doing in terms of missions. Now, these are just some things you can measure, folks. There are other great things going on that you can't put a number to. I mean, we got the greatest, most unified, most effective, first-class staff team of any church in America that I know of. We got a great group. Amen, if you want to do that too. I join you in that. We got a great group of guys who are our deacons, who are godly men, who understand what it means to be have a servant heart and minister to widows and orphans. And they just really are providing great leadership, godly leadership for our church. There's a hunger for God, for God's word. There's a hunger for discipleship. So good things are going on. So now here I'm setting you up once again. God is good and all the time. But you know what? I don't want us to spend all the time just looking in the rearview mirror. I want us to look through the windshield of faith and hope, and I want to lay some challenges before you for the next 12 months. And so number two, not only thank God for the blessings behind us, but also let us trust God for the challenges before us. Trust God for the challenges before us. I want to lay five challenges on you from my heart. These are not things we can do in the strength of our own flesh. These are all God-sized tasks that without His supernatural anointing and power, it will not happen. But for God, with God's power, anything is possible. Here's challenge number one. Let us ask God to provide the money to pay as much cash as possible on our construction project. I want us to ask God to enable us to pay as much cash as possible on our construction project. And folks, the reason I say ask God, because He's the one that's going to provide the money. All right. He's going to do it through you. I've got good news for you today. Do you know all the money we need for this entire project is currently, right now, available? It's just in your pockets right now. That's all, right? And so I think God can do it, but we're going to have to ask Him to do it through your generosity. Now, since this is a family meeting, I'm just going to lay all the numbers on the table for you because you need to be informed. You need to know where we are, where we're going. So let me just give you some numbers here. How much have we received and spent on this building program? Well, the total received to date for the Joy of All Generations as of a couple of weeks ago was $8.6 million. And see, that's all part of that $21.8 million that we received last year. Almost $9 million of that was for the building program. Now, what did we use that money for? Well, if you remember last year, we took $500,000 off the top of that and gave it to missions, World Mission Offering. Then we said we're going to take about $1 million and spend it on Good Sam. And that's what we've done. This past year, we relocated the Good Samaritan Outreach Center. We brought the downtown property of First Assembly of God Tyler. We've moved the Good Sam Outreach Center into there. That has cost us approximately $1.1 million. But you know, we did all that saying we're not just building space for us. This involves so many different ministries. Now, how much have we spent just on the construction here on our campus with the parking lots, the new buildings, and this building you see going up? We have already spent $5.9 million on construction bills. But you know what? As you can see the work accelerating, so will the bills accelerate. So Everett Brazil has told me he's estimated that by the end of this year, by 12/31, we will spend about $8.2 million total. And that's not addition. $8.2 million on that. Now, you say, why are you telling us this, Pastor? I just want you to know how much we received, how much we've spent, and how much we're going to spend in the near future. Now, I don't want you to think we're in any kind of trouble whatsoever. You know why? Because our church has received from you these three-year commitments. Those of you who participated in the Joy of All Generations. Now, we're at that one-year end of that. And if you've given your gift for the year, wonderful. If you haven't, I encourage you to do that. I had somebody tell me, you know what, Pastor? I hate to say it, but I even forgot what I committed. How can I find out? I said, you know what? Just call the finance office. They'll be glad to remind you how much you committed. So if you've forgotten that too, they'll be happy to refresh your memory on that. But also we need those of you who joined our church. The past year we've had over 900 new members join our church. We need you to jump in and do the best you can to help us. Every month in your offering envelope packet, there's a Joy of All Generations envelope. Every Sunday on your offering envelope, there's a little thing for building fund. It's all the same. Now, we're in great shape. You know why? We don't have any debt. And yes, we have very wisely secured a line of credit at Southside Bank. So when and if the construction bills go beyond what we've received, access that line of credit. And you know, I'm not opposed to debt. I mean, I think everybody has to have it sometimes, especially maybe for houses or things like that. But I also believe, folks, that it's the best use of God's money not to spend his money on interest and instead spend that money on ministry and missions. And I think every dollar we can save on interest, those are dollars that can go to ministry and missions. And so I'm just going to say, let's just keep giving. Let's just give. Maybe some of you just want to give more than you ever thought you could give. Let's just see how far we can go before we have to dip into that line of credit. And who knows? God's a great God. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be a great testimony to him if we could do this entire project again without, in essence, spending any money in interest? Now, I love Southside Bank. Some of you work there. It pays your bills. Good for them. But this is God's money. Let's remember that, okay? And all the money we can spend for missions and ministry, that's the best use of God's money. All right, that's challenge number one. Here's challenge number two. That had to do with money. This has to do with ministry. Challenge number two, ask God to keep us focused on ministry to hurting people. Let's ask God to keep us focused on ministry instead of building. You see, the greatest temptation we face during a building program like we've been in and that we're going to be in for the next couple of years is to just kind of keep looking out there wistfully at that building thinking, you know, one day that's going to be finished. But we must resist the temptation to focus on building and we must keep focused on ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not in the construction business. We're not in the fundraising business. We're in the life-changing business and only Jesus Christ can do that. And that's what ministry is all about. Do you remember the movie Field of Dreams, starring Kevin Costner? You remember he was walking by the cornfield one day and he heard a voice that said, "If you build it, they will come." And so he built a baseball diamond right there on his farm. And sure enough, you know, in this fantasy movie, you know, there were people from the past, baseball players that came back and played. And you know, a lot of churches, I'm afraid, have succumbed to what I call the Field of Dreams mentality. They think all you have to do is build a building and people will just flood into it. Folks, that's not true. You have to have ministry that takes place in those buildings. That's what people respond to, life-changing ministry, not brick, not steel, not mortar. Jesus didn't die for a building. Jesus didn't die for a denomination. Jesus died for men and women and boys and girls. So we got to focus on ministry. Did you know this year we have created a whole new ministry area that led by Kevin Burdett? He is now our Minister of Adult Impact. You say, what in the world is that? Well, Kevin is going to help you apply entrepreneurial ideas to ministry. It's going to give us the basis to start new ministries that maybe nobody's ever thought about. And his job is to launch those ministries and to find volunteers to staff those ministries. You know, some of the greatest ministries that are going on at Green Acres through the years, this is how it happened. Somebody came to me or to Ken or one of our other leaders and said, you know what, Pastor? We need to do this. This is not getting done. And so when somebody does that, you know what I always say? I say, praise the Lord, you're right. You're in charge of it. Let me know how I can help. That's true. And if God laid it on your heart, you're probably the one to lead it. But we want to help you. We want to provide resources. We want to provide people. In fact, I want to stand here today and I want to challenge you. Let's launch 20 new ministries over the next 12 months. 20 new ministries. I would love to stand here 1 year from today and say, here they are, 1, 2, 3, all the way to 20. These are 20 new ministries that we've launched because we must keep focused on ministry, not on building. All right, here's challenge number 3. There's a money challenge. There's a ministry challenge. There's a men challenge. Number 3, I want to ask God to call out at least 500 men from GABC to be spiritual leaders in our community. Ask God to call out at least 500 men from our church to be spiritual leaders, not just in this church, you notice, in the community. Now, if you've been a part of what's happening on Friday mornings, men's fraternity, guys, you know God's doing a work there. God is up to something in the lives of men in our church and in our community. I say in our community because a lot of the guys that come to men's fraternity don't go to our church, and that's great. Because we're not trying to build a church, we're trying to build a kingdom, God's kingdom. But God has even called out among our church 50 guys that are coaches, older, wiser guys that are committed to mentoring and discipling younger guys, not just spiritually, but in business and in life skills and things like that. And every man who's listening to me right now, that you've been a part of men's fraternity, I want to personally challenge you before we launch back on January 11th for you to find one other man that you know needs the ministry of other guys, men's fraternity, and you bring that guy with you on January 11th, and we will essentially double the number of guys there. But also, I issue a challenge to every man in this room. If you're a business owner or businessman, I challenge you to somehow introduce Jesus Christ into your business, either by having a Bible study or prayer time with some fellow employees or people that work with you. Take Jesus into your job and start discipling people there at work. Now you say, Pastor, that's all right, that's men. Well, we got a lot of women in our church. Do you have a goal for the women? Well, actually, I think our women's ministry is so far ahead of the men's ministry, we're just trying to catch up with you ladies, okay? Y'all are doing it great. You've been doing it with excellence for years. We're just trying to catch up, okay? So let's pray that God will call out men to be spiritual leaders in their families, in their churches, and in the community. Here's challenge number 4. Let us ask God to lead at least 5,000. Yeah, you did read that number right. 5,000 of our members to be personally involved in world missions. You say, are we all going to go? No. But 5,000 folks, none of you can slack out on that one. You got to participate in this one. Now, I'm going to be talking more about this in 1 month, 4 weeks from today when we have our world mission emphasis. I'm going to be sharing with you about a new organizational structure that Dale Pond, our Minister of Missions, and the Missions Committee has put together. We are going to launch 15 targeted partnerships. And we're going to ask everybody in our church to identify with one of these 15 target areas where you can pray for them, support them, and get involved in them. Local missions, United States missions, Canadian missions, Mexican missions, Cuba missions, Costa Rica missions, Colombia missions, Belize missions, Egypt missions, Brazil missions, Central Asia, East Asia, Iraq, and even reaching out to Indonesia and one unreached people group called the Bean Group. We're going to ask everybody in our church to say, all right, I'm going to focus on one of these 15 areas to pray for, support, and if possible, allow God to send me on some kind of short-term work there sometime in the future. And folks, we can't do it unless every one of you participates. No way we can get 5,000. You know, I can remember when I first came to this church, there was a guy, a longtime charter member of the church, Dr. Herb Barbie, and his wife, Elizabeth. If they told me once, they told me 50 times. They say, Pastor, you know why God has blessed Green Acres Baptist Church? It is because from the very start, we have been a mission-minded church. And that is so true. You know, one day, Dwight L. Moody heard a man make a statement that changed his life. The preacher's name was Henry Varley, and Henry Varley said, the world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with a man totally committed to him. And D.L. Moody said, with God's grace, I will be that man. I want to revise that today. And I want to say, the world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with a church that is totally committed to missions. And by God's grace, may we, Green Acres, be that church. Here's challenge number 5. You can tell this is from my heart. Ask God to rekindle our passion to reach missing people in our community. To reach missing people in our community. There's a money challenge, a ministry challenge, a men challenge, a missions challenge. But what about missing people? Do you remember, folks, I told you a year ago that studies have shown that within a 20-mile radius of Green Acres Baptist Church on any given Sunday morning, there are 60,000 people that aren't involved in church anywhere. And these are people for whom Jesus died. And they're missing from his family today. I want you to look right now. Just look at the pews around you. I want you to find some empty seats next to you or around you. Look at those empty seats. Would you just stare at them for a moment and ask yourself the question, who do I know who's missing right now? Missing the love of God. Missing the grace of God. Missing the forgiveness of God. Who do I know that needs to be here? You know, Jesus said, our God's a kind of God that says, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. He said, so that my house may be full. You know, sure, there's thousands of people that come on Sunday, but we can never be satisfied as long as there are empty seats. Because you know what? I see a little kid over there in that one. Do you see him? I see a couple of teenagers right there in those seats. I see a single adult right there, a single guy, a single gal over there. I see a married couple right over there. I see a family of five right back there on that pew. People who aren't yet within the circle of God's grace and love and forgiveness. And they're people you know. They're your relatives. They're your friends. They're your classmates. They're the people you work with. They're the people in the traffic pattern when you go to the grocery store and fill your cart with gas. You already know them. Do you just care that they're missing? You know what kind of God our God is? One day, Jesus got criticized by some religious legalists. They said, you know what? You're hanging out with prostitutes and drunkards and tax collectors. Shame on you. He said, I'll tell you what God's like. Luke 15. He said, God is like a shepherd who has 100 sheep. 99 of those sheep are behaving and they're hanging on. But there's one little lamb who wanders off and gets in trouble. And he says, our God is a God like that shepherd who goes and searches for that one lost lamb, leaves the 99, and rescues that lamb and puts it on his shoulders and takes it back to the fold. And then Jesus makes a powerful spiritual application. He said, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous. Sure, God smiles when several thousand people gather here to worship and study. But I want you to know heaven cheers when one lost person comes to know Jesus. And we just have to ask God to rekindle that passion for missing people. And we cannot be satisfied until those pews next to you are filled with the missing people that you already know. Those of you that grew up in my generation, you watched the space race firsthand. Mercury, Gemini, Apollo program. And we even have some retired NASA people in our church who are very involved in that. Apollo 11 went to the moon, one giant step for mankind. Apollo 12 went to the moon, flawless missions. And so on April 11, 1970, when Apollo 13 blasted off, hardly anybody noticed until an oxygen tank ruptured. And James Lovell uttered in a voice a lot calmer than any of us could have, those five famous words, Houston, we have a problem. And at that moment, the engineers at NASA got together and they figured out a way that they could bring them safely home. And millions of Americans prayed and were concerned about those three brave astronauts. You know what? They couldn't just put it in reverse and come back to Earth. They had to move into the lunar landing module. The moon landing was scrapped, but they had to fly all the way to the moon and go around the backside of the moon in order for the gravitational forces to slingshot them back to Earth. And so when they were led safely home, all of America celebrated. How many thousands of people do you think there are at this moment, as I'm talking to you here in East Texas, who, if they were honest, they would admit to God, God, I have a problem. It may be a drinking problem. drug problem, money problem, family problem. But they admit, God, I've got a problem. What am I going to do? And you know what? We've got to be as concerned for them and as passionate for them to see that they're brought safely home into the love and forgiveness and acceptance of Jesus Christ. So we just need to ask God, God, would you rekindle that passion in my heart to see those that are missing brought back into your family? Let's pray. Father, we do rejoice in what you've done in the past, but we are not satisfied, and we know that neither are you. We know that as long as there are lost people in East Texas and East Africa and East Asia, that we cannot rest. And so we joyfully accept your challenge to take the good news across the street and across the globe. And would you at this moment, Father, touch every person's life and show them what part they will play in meeting these challenges. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.